The following study was given by Pastor John Corson at the Applegate Christian Fellowship.
Well, we come now to Exodus chapter 20, the ninth commandment, verse 16, which says this, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Would you read it with me? Say it with me. "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Thou shalt not bear false witness. Well, just what is bearing false witness? Well, there is one very prominent person that we all know that might say that all depends on what is. And that's the point. It's a perfect illustration. That's the heart of the matter. For you see, listen carefully, bearing false witness is not limited to telling out and out lies. Oh, it is included in that, but it's not limited to that. Bearing false witness is not simply telling out and out lies, but rather, listen, bearing false witness from the biblical viewpoint means being tricky with the truth. Being tricky with the truth. Like that fisherman. Saturday afternoon, he goes into the fish market. He says to the proprietor of the fish market, "Would you stand over there, please, and toss me the five biggest trout that you have?" Well, the proprietor says, "Whatever for?" And the guy says, "Well, I've been fishing all day, and I want to go home and tell my wife that I caught five big trout. I may be a lousy fisherman," he said, "but I'm no liar." And we hear things like that, you know. "Yeah, toss me five big trout so I can say I caught five trout today." Or like the farmer who went to his neighbor and said, "You know, for the past year I've just felt really badly. I stole your rope. I didn't mean to steal it. I just kind of borrowed it and never gave it back. And well, I took your rope about a year ago." And the neighbor graciously said, "Oh, hey, listen, thanks for coming and sharing that with me. Don't worry about that." And they shook hands, and the guy that took the rope went his way, but he was still bothered because he forgot to mention that tied to the end of the rope was a cow. There are times, I think, when all of us find ourselves being tricky with the truth. That is, "Well, I caught the fish," or the telephone rings, and you wrap twine around your hands. "Tell him I'm all tied up, would you please?" You see. Or, "I did not have sex with that woman." Well, my definition of sex, you see, is what our president told us on TV. Bearing false witness, gang, is being tricky with the truth. It doesn't mean just telling whoppers. It means massaging the message. It means finessing the deal in such a way that, oh, you're technically saying what may be true, but you've not been honest with the issue. John, how do you know that that's the definition? Because the Bible gives us one illustration where the word false witness is used. I'll read it to you. It's found in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, we now come to the illustration where the word false witness is directly used. And listen to what this account says. Verse 59 of Matthew 26. "The chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." There's the operative phrase. The enemies of Christ, the chief priests and elders and scribes who wanted to see him done away, they sought false witness. But verse 60, they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. That is, none were acceptable. They were seeking a false witness in order to get rid of Jesus. But none of the false witnesses who came were acceptable. At last, verse 60 says, there came two false witnesses. And they said, concerning Jesus, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to Jesus, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. Now here's what I want you to see. These false witnesses giving a false witness quoted Jesus. For you see, Jesus did say previously, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. That's exactly what they were saying, he said in verse 61. This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. But wait, when Jesus said that in John chapter 2, he was not talking about the physical temple there in Jerusalem. That glorious, grand structure where the Jews worshipped Yahweh, Jehovah. He was not talking about the building. We are told he was talking about his body. Destroy this body. Speaking of the way that he would die that day. That he would be crucified and 3 days later he would rise from the dead. Now listen. Here's what you need to see. These guys were saying what Jesus said. They had the right information. Mark this. If you're note-taking, get this stuff down. We're going to make an important point a little bit later on. Not too much later, don't worry. They had the right information, but the wrong implication. He did say that. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And they quoted him. It was the right information, but the wrong implication, and they knew it. They were taking the truth and being tricky with it. They had the right information, but the wrong implication, stemming from corrupt motivation. Right information, but it's the wrong implication, stemming from corrupt motivation. What was their motivation? To enrich themselves. How? Probably the high priest and leaders were paying money to these false witnesses. Just like later on they would pay money to the soldiers to say, hey, the disciples stole the body on that Easter Sunday. They were probably paying these guys off. If not financially, then for sure these guys were being enriched in their status in the eyes of the high priest. Those were the big wigs. They were the People magazine guys. And these guys, these false witnesses said, well, we'll give the right information even though it's the wrong implication because it'll enrich us. From, you see, it's stemming from corrupt motivation due to satanic inspiration. Satanic inspiration? The Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. Jesus said that he is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. When Satan lies, he doesn't just tell whoppers. He makes these tricky statements like he said to Eve in the Garden of Eden that day. Yea, hath God said that you're not to eat of every tree? Oh, he's clever. Taking the truth, rearranging it a bit, right information, wrong implication, corrupt motivation. Yep. What was Satan's motivation when he sought to corrupt Eve and Adam that day? To try and get himself off the hook, if possible, you see. Corrupt motivation. Satanic inspiration that finally, number 5, leads to hellish devastation. Hellish devastation. How so, John? I'll read to you. Don't even turn there. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It says this. Know this, that murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Verse 27. Know this, that all that maketh a lie shall in no wise enter in to heaven. God declares here in Revelation, in chapter 21, verses 8 and 27, and in 22, verse 15, know this, that no sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie may enter into the gates of the city. Listen, God declares that lies will always lead to hellish devastation. Those that are perpetual liars, the father of lies, Satan, and his hellish henchmen, and those that lie, they end up in hell literally. Now, stay with me for a moment here. I want to make a very important connection. Because you see, right now, as we speak, there is a false witness going out against you and against me. What? Yep. There's a false witness going out against you and against me. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says, "The accuser of the brethren, who is Satan, accuses us day and night before God's throne." What does he say? He has the right information. He points out our sins, where we have dropped the ball, where we have missed the mark, where we have fouled it up. Satan is there before God's throne being a false witness. He has the right information. Hey, how many of you have erred in some way, big or small, in the past week? Raise your hand. Okay, yeah, most of us have. Yeah. Some hands didn't go up. I want to see you afterwards, that you might bless the rest. But be that as it may, Satan is there, and what's he doing? Accusing you. Right information, but wrong implication, for he does not take into consideration our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb because of what Christ did for you and me that day. If it wasn't so hot, I would take you to an illustration found in Zechariah chapter 3. I'm not going to. Just jot it down if you're a student, a note taker, and you will see this drama that goes on in heaven, where Satan is an accuser, pointing out the flaws of Joshua the high priest. But then there is one that defends Joshua and says, "Take off his ugly garments and put a robe of linen and righteousness round him." And who is that who comes to our defense? 1 John chapter 2 says, "If any man sin, know this." If any man sin, know this. We have an advocate, a defense lawyer with the Father, that is Jesus Christ the righteous. And while Satan accuses, he's a false witness, Jesus excuses, because he tells the full story. The full story is, yes, they have sinned, but my blood, Father, has cleansed them thoroughly, completely, totally. I paid the price, Father. And the Father says, boom, case dismissed, lack of evidence. I like that. Listen, it's good news. Amen. So what's going on with this false witness, Satan? Listen, the false witness, right information, we've sinned, wrong implication. He doesn't take into consideration the full story, that is that Christ died for our sins, for corrupt motivation. What's his motivation? To try and put us in his category so he will not be doomed and damned to hell, where he will say to God that day, "How can you send me to hell when these out there in that amphitheater have sinned so badly?" He has a motivation to enrich himself. That's his whole purpose. To get himself off the hook. To finesse the situation. To set himself free from where he knows is to be his eternal destiny. So Satan, right information, wrong implication, corrupt motivation, satanic inspiration. He is the liar. He's the false witness that leads to hellish devastation. For he will spend eternity in outer darkness. That's where all liars will go, the Bible says. And Satan is the father of lies. Jesus said he's a liar from the beginning, you see. You say, well, interesting, I guess. So Satan's a false witness. Yes! And the Bible says we have an advocate whom the Bible calls, this Jesus, our advocate, the true and what? Faithful witness. Jesus is called in the Scriptures the true and faithful witness. What do you mean? Jesus is called in the Scriptures the true and faithful witness. What do you mean? He tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help him, for he is God. He tells the full story before the throne of the Father. You say, well, I'm glad about that, John. I'm glad about that too. That he tells not just the truth, but the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so the Bible says of him, he is the faithful and true witness, unlike Satan, who's a false witness, right information, wrong implication because of corrupt motivation by satanic inspiration that leads to hellish what? Excellent. Now, you say, well, okay, John, that's kind of cool, I guess. You wouldn't say that over here, probably. But that's kind of interesting, maybe. But so what? I want to close with this. You need to understand, folks. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. Are you a faithful and true witness like your leader, like your Lord, like your love, Jesus Christ? Or are you a false witness? Well, what do you mean, John? Let me ask you this. Do you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about your neighbor? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, who's my neighbor, you say? Well, today it's the person sitting right next to you, right in front of you, right behind you. Okay, so what? Did you know that person sitting next to you is righteously robed, is blood bought, is heaven bound, is positionally pure, is engaged to be the bride of Jesus, and he loves him, loves her, loves that person sitting next to you passionately? Well, I guess so. If you say so, maybe. I don't have a problem with that, I guess. Then listen. Would you ever give a false witness and talk about that person's problems? Or point out to someone else what you have observed, right information, in a way that you might say lots of nice stuff about them, and then you drop the big but. You might say lots of nice things about that neighbor, that person, whoever he or she might be. However, with a little wink and a little, I don't know if I should share this, but guess what that is? It's a false witness. But it's the truth. But it's the truth. It may be the truth, but it's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So what we need is to say, it might be truthful what I'm sharing, but is it the total truth? Listen, the total truth is that person that you are kind of digging a bit or criticizing somewhat or having a challenge with, listen, Jesus looks at that person and Jesus says, I'm in love with him. That's my bride. I'm in love with her. So if you were to be attacking Tammy, my wife right here, and saying, well, she's kind of cool. However, you know, She's neat, but did you hear? It would make me furious. I would be offended. I would go to her defense. I would tell you, hey, careful now. She's my bride. She's my pride and joy. She's my babe. When you say something about that person who is a Christian, even though it might be the right information, it's the wrong implication because it's from corrupt motivation. What corrupt motivation? You're trying to, I'm trying to, we're trying to enrich ourselves. How? By putting them down. Well, if I can put her down or put a little dig in there about him, that'll make me feel better about myself. Where does that come from? It comes from satanic inspiration. And where will it lead? Hellish devastation. What do you mean, John? You won't be cast into outer darkness. No, you're saved. But there'll be an inner darkness and a depression that will fill your soul. The minute you're done with that conversation, you'll walk away and say, that wasn't right. And you'll feel dark inside. And you'll feel bummed and you'll feel blue, which means blummed. That's how you'll feel. You'll say, what's wrong with me? It's hellish devastation. Not outer darkness, inner darkness. You're not burned up, you're burned out. You go, what did I do? Why did I have to add that last phrase? It might have been true, but it's not the whole truth. It's not nothing but the truth. Because the full truth is, that person is forgiven. That person is the bride of Christ. He's in love with them or in love with her. How dare I say anything negative about him, about her, about them? It's a false witness. Do you understand? What does Satan do? He accuses the brethren day and night. What does a false witness do? They accuse. They point out the flaws and shortcomings of others. And informationally, they might be right, but the implication is totally wrong. The motivation is nothing but corrupt. The inspiration is Satan himself, and the devastation will be hellish at the end. So, John, what do you say? What do I do? Okay, maybe I am a false witness because I'm bearing false witness against my neighbor, my brother, my sister. I do sometimes put little digs in, make my little points. And it might be the right information, but John, it's true. I know that that person is the bride of Christ, blood-bought, spirit-filled, heaven-bound, and I better not clown around in putting them down, even with my close girlfriend. Ladies, watch that, would you? Ladies, watch that. Oh, I know you're having coffee together. God help you. When you begin to say even something a bit negative about another sister or brother to enrich yourself, to elevate yourself, just the opposite takes place. Every time you do that, you drop a notch. It's ugly. It's unseemly. It's devilish. It's dark. Fellas, watch that. Watch that when you're shooting golf or playing hoops or whatever it might be, that you don't make a dig at some other brother, some other sister. He, she, that's your neighbor. They're the bride of Christ. He loves them. It's a false witness, but it's true what I'm saying, but it's not the whole truth. The whole truth is they're forgiven. The price has been paid. They're going to heaven. He, she is the bride of Christ. How dare you? How dare I? How dare we talk about them in a negative way, however cute and clever it might seem? It's sin. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And what do I do, John? I got this problem. I mean, you're speaking to me today. What do I do? Three things. Number one, say less. Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Anything more than that is what? Sin. Would you work on that? Would you say less? Don't say, oh, isn't he great? But I... Oh, isn't she wonderful? But... Just stop with the great and wonderful. Just leave it there. Because in God's sight, your brother and your sister is, they are just that. Wonderful. Because they've been robed in His righteousness. Say less. Number two, pray more. David declared this. I'll read it to you in Psalm 119. David, a man after God's own heart, declares this. Remove from me, Lord, the way of lying. David cried out, Lord, don't let me be a liar, where I'm a false witness, right information, wrong implication, because it's a corrupt motivation from satanic inspiration that leads to what? Hellish what? Remove it from me, Lord. My tendency is to want to enrich myself in poking fun and putting down and finding fault and sniffing sin. Forgive me, Lord. Remove from me the way of lying. Listen, say less, pray more. Number three, finally, think again. Think again of what? I like the acronym THINK. THINK. T, is it truthful? Is it the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Is it truthful? Number two, H, is it helpful? Will it help that person? Will that person's reputation go up? Will they be appreciated more because of what you're saying about him or about her to your friend, to your buddy, to your wife, to your hubby? Is it truthful? Is it helpful? Is it inspirational? Will you leave that conversation, both of you that are sharing, inspired about how good and great God is? Is it inspirational? Is it necessary? Do you need to say it at all? And K, is it kind? Is it just plain old flat-out kind? Before you speak, think again. Think. Is it truthful? Is it helpful? Is it inspirational? Is it necessary for me to say? Is it kind? You see, when you come to the intersection in your conversation and there's a temptation to bear false witness, right information but wrong implication, just think of that intersection as a crossroads. You're at a crossroads. And think of the lights. Red, say less. Yellow, think again. Green, pray more. And you'll do fine. I'll do fine. Otherwise, I will be not like my Lord, who is a faithful and true witness, defending people, our advocate, our defense attorney, but rather I will be the false witness like the devil, the accuser of the brethren. I don't want to be like Satan. Do you want to be like him? I don't think so. You're saying, but we feel pretty hellish over here, you're talking so long. So I'm going to stop right now. But I want you to know this, folks, that bearing false witness is a lot more than just not telling whoppers. It means that you witness properly, that you speak the whole truth, that those people that others are putting down, you need to say, hey, stop right there, dear friend. He, she, they, that's the bride of Christ, and He loves them, and they're robed with righteousness, and in His sight, they're positionally pure, and they're heaven-bound, and they're blood-bought, and hey, aren't they great because of what God's doing in their life? That's being a true and faithful witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, things to think through. Let's pray, shall we? I know, Father, that the temperatures are hot. I know that the challenge to take in a study like this is sometimes difficult. And yet, I know that Your Spirit breaks through. And I pray that You would change me and change my brothers and sisters, where we might be more and more like Jesus, who is the defender, the advocate, not the prosecutor and the fault finder. And I pray, Lord, that this fellowship would increasingly be known as a place where people speak words that are gracious and kind, based upon what Jesus has done. I pray, Lord, that we would not bear false witness. Change my heart. Lord, rip that stuff out of me. Rip that stuff out of us where we're not being clever with the truth, tricky with the truth, but where we just might be honest with the whole truth, Father, considering the work of Christ, concerning the bride of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
That concludes our study. We pray that the Lord has spoken to you through it. A catalog of the hundreds of teachings by Pastor John is available. If you'd like a copy, simply call us at 1-888-544-4858. Or write to us. Our address is Post Office Box 1090, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. May the Lord richly bless you.